Okay. So, we didn't get too far last week. We only got to Joshua chapter 6. But I'm going to try to chew up some ground tonight. Only because it's... there's a long way to go. And because all the things that I see in there, we would spend way too much time, on the details, things that I like. But we want an overview, and it's hard sometimes for me to remember, just the overview. But so far, we've seen that Joshua brought the nation Israel up and brought them into the promised land. And when the Lord brought them over there, he expected them to, the contract was for them to obey him. And we know God knew that that wouldn't happen. He told them before it even went in. He said, this is what will happen if you do this. And he gave them a list of things that we talked about it, that the curses and the blessings. In chapter 6, we left off with the nation of Israel had just taken over Jericho.
What chapter are we in?
Joshua chapter 6. In we'll start at verse 17 again. And the city shall be accursed, that's Jericho, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab, the harlot, shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. Verse 19. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young man and the young men that were spies went in, and brought Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein. Only the silver, and the gold, and the vessels of brass, and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. So they took over the city of Jericho. And chapter 7 says, But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And we know from last week what the accursed thing was. Do you remember what it was? Okay. Verse Right, yeah, you were. I was talking to maybe Lawrence, Sharon, and Frank. And, okay, verse 11. He says, verse 11, Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed thing from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, and sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. You know, I liked it when I was reading that. I can just see I looked at it like a bullseye. You know, you have the circle out there, and you bring all the tribes. All of them come out. And then the Lord narrows it down, and he says, it's kind of like, you know, a commercial where all these cars are going by, and they're all going by, like, and he says, I want a car, and they go, and he says, I want a red car, and then it kind of thins out, and then he says, I want a red car with, you know, whatever got miles per gallon, and then it, you know, narrows down, and then he says, I want this kind of, and then all of a sudden, it's just that one car standing there. Well, that's what the Lord does. He says, I want to know who took the accursed thing. And he brings all the tribes of Israel out. And then it says, okay, the tribe of Judah, step forward. And then they all come up. And then he narrows it down. He says, okay, the family of Zabdi. And then he comes up. Then he says, the house of... Who's the main car? The house of... well, let's look at this. He can tell you better than I can. Verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes. That's all of them. And the tribe of Judah was taken. Okay, that get to 11 tribes eliminated. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took of the family of the Zarahites. There's the rest of the tribe of Judah could go. We got down to the family. And he brought the family of Zarahites man by man. And Zabdi was taken. Now he's got this man's family out of Judah, out of the Zarahites. And he brought his household man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and I took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. and all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones until this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor until this day. Now you see that that's how the Lord operated with them. He, even though it was one man, the whole nation suffered. They went up to conquer, and they got conquered because it was a collective thing. Today, it's individual. So you couldn't, if we were all one big family, just say we were all one family, if I sin, you wouldn't suffer for that as far as the Lord is concerned. But they were blessed or cursed as a nation, not individuals. That's why he says, you have troubled Israel. And his whole family. Everything. The Lord just wiped him out. Now you can probably say, you know what? They can say, well, that's him. That's not fair. But
who are you gonna say that to?
Exactly. The Lord, you know what? Who are you gonna tell the Lord? He says, somebody knew. And I guess the Lord says, well, we won't even deal with that. We'll just get rid of them all. But he got the job done. Chapter 8. So after they move on, look at chapter 8, verse. Let me see if Lawrence, I'm going to put Lawrence on the spot. Do you remember what Achan means? What his name means?
Troubler.
That's one of those little things that the Lord says, his name is Achan. And he says, why have you troubled Israel? And his name means troubler. That's if you didn't even know, if you just read and said this man's name is Troubler, you can know that somewhere, if you just read somewhere that Achan means troubler, you can go look through here until you found Achan, find out what he did, and the Lord will say, I told you. He's a troubler. Chapter 8, verse. Troubler.
I asked her where something was, and she told me, she's tall. She tripped, but I said, what's wrong? She says, I always do it something to myself. And I listened to her for a little while, and I walked over, and I touched her hand, and I said, from this day on, you're not going to do that anymore. And she looked at me. She said, bless you.
Okay. Something to that effect. 8 and verse 33. This is after they have taken the city of Ai. We're skipping a few things. And Joshua, in verse 33, and all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priest, the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses read, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. And it came to pass, well, we won't read that. What he did, I just want to explain that. Before Moses, they came over to the land, Moses put them on both sides, one on Mount Gerizim, one on Mount Ebal, and one, the Mount Gerizim, he gave them blessings. If they did what was right, the Lord would bless them. Mount Ebal, he gave them curses. If they did what was wrong, He would curse them. And Joshua, after they take over these cities, he's doing the same thing. And really what he's doing is just reminding them, you're under contract. You're under the covenant. As we keep going here, you're still under the covenant. And it's still a covenant of performance. If you do this, then I'll do this. And they're going, they're still taking over this land. Now, chapter 9, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side of Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work slyly, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, and old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And when they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. That's a no-no. The Lord had told him, when you go in, to do what?
Destroy.
Utterly destroy them. And he said, make no league with them. He spelled it out. And here they come. He says, well, we your servants. We come from a long way. You know, they don't want to get annihilated like the rest of these countries or nations. And when they went to Joshua, verse 6, and they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal, and said unto him, unto the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make a league. Make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals, or food, with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you, but now behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors, and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Shephera, and Beeroth, and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And all the congregation murmured against the princes. But all the princes said unto the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do unto them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us, because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, Wherefore have you beguiled us, saying, We are very far from you when ye dwell among us? Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen, and hewers of wood, and drawers of water, for the house of my God. Now, you would expect the Lord to keep up his end of the bargain and punish them, but he doesn't do it right now. You know why he doesn't do it?
Because he knew they was going to mess up
anyway. Well, he knew that, but he swore. They swore by God that we would not punish you. And that was a big thing. If you swear by the Lord, we won't harm you. Well, they had to keep that end up. They had to keep that end of the bargain up. You know, that just made me think that, you know how they'll put your hand on the Bible, put your right hand on the Bible, swear. Do you solemnly swear? Oh, yeah, yeah. By God, that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They say, yep, and then they just commence the line, right? It means nothing. So we don't have the reverence that they had for the Lord. But the thing here is, it's Joshua, even Joshua. Yeah. There's none good. Even Joshua, he goes against the Lord's commandment. And he says, don't make a league with them. Whatever the situation was, he knew they weren't Jews. You don't make a league with them, and he did. And that right there, you start seeing that if the leader compromises, what do you expect the rest of them to do? And they began, and they did. And from there on, even though the Lord gave them a little reprieve, look at chapter 10, verse 7. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. Therefore shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly, and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them all the way, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horon, and smote them to Akiza and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth-horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Akiza, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. And that's, if you're familiar with that, I don't know if you ever heard that story where they were fighting the Amorites and they were running out of time. running out of daylight. And Joshua, this is in real time where he was in the battle, and he calls to the Lord to make the sun stand still and the moon. In other words, stop time while we get this job done. And he did it. And I like that where he says, and I was thinking about that, he says there had never been a day like that or after that where the Lord hearkened unto a man. Just like you think of it, here's Joshua. He just got through compromising.
Yeah.
And then he tells the Lord to hold time for me.
Did he tell him or ask him?
Well, he right. He did it. He said, he the Lord. He asked him to stand, hold the sun and moon, and he did it. And he said, never had been a time where the Lord hearkened unto a man. And I started thinking about, well, Abraham was, you know, he did a little haggling with God back in Sodom and Gomorrah. Moses, he did a little haggling. But Joshua, he actually said, Lord, stop the sun. And he did. And he said, I can see him saying, only because I'm doing this battle here, only because I'm battling here, I'm going to listen to you. Because all Israel was in his presence. So I think he did it only because his name would not have been exalted if he had not done it.
How is that different than when Moses reminded the Lord of his covenants and it said the Lord repented?
Where he changed... You know what? I think that's why I was thinking of the situations where the Lord was, where Moses and Abraham, Joshua, where they talked to the Lord like that. And because of his graciousness and his long suffering, which is what we see here anyway, I think he, I think Lauren said it, where I think he's willing to forgive. He's willing to be merciful. He's willing to be gracious. So if Moses asked him this, and it's, I don't think he was going to do it anyway.
Or maybe it meant that when it said that the Lord listened to the voice of a man, maybe it was that he did something supernatural like that, as opposed to, in the case of Moses, it was he had mercy.
Well, Elijah prayed that it might not rain, and it didn't. But the scripture said he earnestly prayed. He prayed for days that it might not rain. Well, when I said this was real time, this was Joshua in the battle, and he says to the Lord, stop the sun.
Okay, the difference is in real time.
And it's and it stops. So that's just my understanding of it. But anyway, I thought that was one little interesting little note there. Time's sake here, and I will try to cover some of these chapters in here. In verse chapter 13, verse 1, where Joshua is, and they've already taken quite a bit of land. But Joshua says, now 13:1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. The Lord right on the money. He says, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines and all Jeshuri, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, 5 lords of the Philistines and the Gazaites and the Ashdodites and the Eshkenalites and the Gittites and the Ekronites, also the Avites, from the south and all... land, all the land of the Canaanites, and Myria that is beside Sidonians, unto Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Giblites. Can you imagine it? And all Lebanon toward the sun rising, from Baal Gad, under Mount Hermon, unto the entering into Hamath. All the inhabitants of the hill country, from Lebanon to Mishrepothmain, and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites, for an inheritance as I have commanded thee. And what I don't know, we could look at the map, but we won't do that right now. There's a lot of land still left, even though they've possessed a lot. And Joshua is old and well stricken in years, as the Lord said, but they still have a lot of land to take, and he details the land that they have, and he's telling them to divide it by lot. You remember, Ed, when you showed that when Moses went over and he showed them the land and where the tribes would be? The Lord has already, he already knows where they're going to be. And that's what he can tell Joshua. There's still a lot to be conquered, and separate them the way by lot. And the lot is from the Lord. That's when they do the lot, it's just not, you know, like a lottery ticket. You know, like they pull a hat and like, oh, I got. It's something that the Lord does. He puts them where he wants them. That's by the way, that's interesting. When you go to Acts, and they took lots for the apostle, the next apostle, and they said the lot fell on Matthias. Well, it wasn't like people say, well, they just gambled at that. They were disobedient. As Proverbs said, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. He's the one in control of that with them. So they have still a lot of land to take over. Now, look at chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God, and Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron was before Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Reason I read that was because that gives you that gives us an idea how old Joshua is. Because Caleb and Joshua were together. And when they went to spy the land, they were 40 years old. Now, he says, now I'm 85. So you can just bet Joshua was about 85, around in that area. I would say they'd be the same age. So you see now the Lord, Joshua has been walking with the Lord 40 years. That's he's a He's old and stricken in age, right? But you know what? That's a long time. Yeah. You know, where you start, you know, to have that much experience with the Lord. To me, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
Yeah.
Who?
You.
I'm 45.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. 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 Okay. Chapter 16.
Verse 14.
And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto? Who gave the lots?
I'm sorry.
That's right. Who gave the lots?
God.
The Lord gave the lots. And here's Joshua, or Joseph, talking to Joshua, saying, Why have you given me a small lot?
I thought God was whistling.
So he says in verse 15, oh, that's fine. And Joshua answered them, If thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzite and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanite that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth Shean and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spake unto the house of Joseph, even unto Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, Thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine, for it is a wood, and thou shalt cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be thine. For thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Now this, if you remember this, just file us away. The Lord had already said that the land is theirs. So now we're starting to see them falter. Joshua makes a compromise with the Gibeonites. The tribes now, they go here. And they fear the people because they have chariots of iron. They're looking at the circumstances again, not at the Lord. And this will come up again. This will come up again in when they go there. Verse 18:8. He says, Joshua's, and the men arose and went away, and Joshua charged them that went to describe the land, saying, Go and walk through the land and describe it, and come again to me, that I may here cast lots for you before the Lord in Shiloh. And the men went and passed through the land and described it by cities into seven parts in a book, and came again to Joshua to the host at Shiloh, and Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord, and there Joshua divided the land unto the children of Israel according to their divisions. The reason I read that is because Shiloh is where the Lord told them to meet. That's where the worship was to generate from. And as we go on, you'll find out that this is the, you won't hear about Shiloh anymore. Because from here on out, They run into some real problems. Chapter 22. So we're going to have to get out of Joshua tonight. Before we look at 22, verse, look at 43 or 21. And the Lord gave to Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. He said it when he first started. He says, I won't fail. You remember that? He says, I won't fail to do this. And he gets over here and he says, I've done everything that I promised you. You're in the land. You got everything that I promised you. Everything that I promised you, I didn't fail. I can see the Lord saying, I didn't fail. All right. Verse 4. 22:4. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren as he promised them. Now therefore return ye and get you unto your tents and unto the land of your possession which Moses the servant of the Lord gave you on the other side of Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses the servant of the Lord charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went into their tents. Now, we won't read that. He blessed them and he sent them away. So we'll go down to, look at verse 23, chapter 23. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God had done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he is he. He it is that fighteth for you, as he promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Else, if ye do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they unto you, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all evil things, until he have destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given you. You think they Joshua got confidence in them? He knows it's you know what? It's on the way down. Look at verse 2, verse 24, verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And he goes on to tell them what they did. Drop down to verse 14. And I, verse 12, he says, I won't read that much. I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even two kings, the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not. And ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here we go. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore, what?
We will also serve
the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, he is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt, and consume you after that he had done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, The Lord God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. And it shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. And it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord, that he had done for Israel, and the bones of Joshua, and the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground, which Jacob brought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died, and they buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount Ephraim. Now we're out of Joseph. We're out of Joshua. But he ends with, he tells him,
say you one more time.
Several times he says, I can see him saying, you sure you want to do this? We'll do it. You can't do it. You sure? We will do it. And you know what? It just said right here, they did it. But it's still a nation. There's still people, and we'll find out that after all that generation died, that lived with Joshua, that and the elders,
the generation that knew not Joshua,
that knew not God. But we were talking about, you know what? You're only a generation away from apostasy. We wonder how we have the grace message. Somebody before us was faithful to it. A remnant, right. Somebody before us held it firm. Somebody before us took it serious. We have, right now, there's so many people that want to know. And for every one person that wants to know, there's probably 100 that could care less. There's always a generation that arises that, when we say that know not the Lord, that won't. You can know the Lord by this, but you have to get in there. That's how you know him.
Right.
And what we do now is we play. Believer.
Tradition is powerful.
It is. Very powerful.
Yeah.
And you know what? Some people would rather switch than fight. You know, you say they'd rather fight than switch, but they'd rather switch than fight for this, than the truth. It's easy when you got the multitude behind you. And one thing I'll say is, before we close, is always think about this. Here's the Lord. He's on earth, and he has this great multitude, thousands at a time, follow him. And when he leaves earth, he has 120 people. 120 people. That's more than, you think about this. You look at these big mega churches on Sunday, and it's 12,000 people.
So it's 120 in the parking lot, direct traffic.
Right. So, but you know what? The Lord is never with the majority.
True.
So I say that when they come out in the rain, we all come out in the rain, but to come that far. And I know we're looking at this, and I say, Lord, it's exciting, but how can we make this exciting? And you know what he told me? He said, if it won't excite you to read it, there's nothing you can do. And I said, well, unless I start dancing. Anybody want to close in prayer for us? If not, I'll pray.
Father, we just thank you so much for this day, and for we do thank you for those that are hungry for your word and want to know more and more about it. We thank you that we have your word, and we thank you for Frank, who does bring it to us, and never thinks he does good enough, but that's right, because the Lord, you do it, Lord. You do the thing that needs to be done, but he stands up and he shares your word with us. And we're grateful for that. And we are grateful that we don't get stoned like those people back there because we did something wrong. And that you have given us mercy. And we just would like to remember that that mercy came at a terrible price, and that there was suffering, and there was somebody that got tortured and crucified, and that was your son, so that we would not be under that law. And we're so thankful for that, and we just ask you to help us to keep growing, give us the certainty of the of your word and the faith that you've given us, and help us to learn more, give us that hunger so that we can also teach others. We thank you for all your blessings.